Study going through the book of Colossians. And so we're in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. The title of the message is Taking Off Your Grave Clothes. In this particular passage in chapter 3, verses 8 through 14, we are talking about putting off and putting on. So it's the putting off and putting on section of the book of Colossians. It says this in Colossians 3, 8. But now you yourselves, it's our responsibility to put off these things. And then it gives a list of some things, beginning with anger and wrath and blasphemy and malice and evil thoughts and lying and all those sort of things. And then in verse 12, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on these things. And then it has a list. And the list there is really similar to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Put on love and kindness and mercy and self-control and all those kind of things we see there. The key, as we mentioned last week, and we put our messages on the internet, and I'm not sure if last week's is on there yet or not, but I would encourage you, if you missed last week's, you need to get that one. Because the key to being able to put off and put on as we're told to do, the key to that is found in verse 5. And we studied that last time, where it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And then it gives an example of some things there. See, the only way that you and I will be able to put off and put on as we should, as we want to as Christians, is to make sure that by faith we've already chose to die, to commit, as we saw last time, spiritual suicide. We are to commit or put to death sin and self. We're to put to death the sin of both our behavior and our sinful thought patterns, our thinking. We are to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ, and that is hard to do. Who here has brought every thought to the obedience of Christ? Raise their hand. If you did, you just committed the sin of behavioral sin because you lied. You notice I didn't put my hand up. But that is all part of it. We are to put to death our behavioral sins and the sins of our thought life. And then we're to put to death our self life with all of its desires to be in control, to have its own way, and to get mad when you don't have your own way. We're to, God, put that to death. That old man with all of its hurts and bitternesses and anger and resentment and fear and guilt, all of it. It's unforgiving type attitudes. It's past memories and experiences. Those things that consume us. We need to say, the old man died, and I'm choosing by faith to put it to death. If you choose by faith to die daily, sometimes it's to die moment by moment, and making it your attitude, the attitude of your heart. The attitude of my heart is to die daily, is to apply this truth. Then you will be able to put off and put on successfully. It happened outside the city of Bethany. When Jesus arrived, the people were already mourning. They'd been mourning for 4 days. See, Jesus arrived 4 days after his good friend Lazarus had died. So when Martha met him, she had this complaint. She said, Lord, if you had been here, he'd be alive, because she believed he could have healed him and would have healed him because he loved him. To which Jesus responded to Martha. He said, Martha, Lazarus will live again. And Martha said, Lord, I know that in the resurrection, he will, but I'm not talking about then. I'm talking about now, today. Then Jesus made this great statement. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And we know that's connected to the future resurrection of the body. But it's also a truth that's connected to us right now. We can experience that resurrected life right now, today. And at that point, then Jesus went on to the tomb. And the tomb was a cave that had a big, large stone rolled in front of it. And Jesus said to the men that were there, he said, roll the stone away. Well, Martha, who's the dead man's sister, got all excited and she says, no, Lord, because he's been there 4 days and he stinks. That smell is going to be terrible. You don't want to roll the stone away. And then Jesus looked up into heaven and he prayed. And then he looked down at the tomb that had the stone rolled away. And he says, Lazarus, come out. Someone said they were so glad that he said, Lazarus, come out. Because if he just said, come out, then everybody would have came out. So his power was individualized. And he said, Lazarus, come out. And out walked what looked like a mummy. Then Jesus said this to the men that were standing around there. Loose him. In other words, take off those smelly grave clothes. What if Lazarus would have said, wait a minute, I like the grave clothes. And what's under here may not look so good. Wouldn't you have freaked out a little bit? You've been dead for 4 days and you're kind of walking out and going, okay, take the grave clothes off. If he would have said, no, don't take the grave clothes off. I like my grave clothes. Thank you very much. What would you think? Oh boy, when he raised him from the dead, he forgot to, you know, include this part because he's lost a little bit here. He's a Looney Tunes. No one would, in their right mind, would keep their grave clothes on that stinks to high heaven. Would they? Of course not. You wouldn't. And that's Paul's point. As believers in Christ, like Lazarus, we have been raised from the dead as God's children. And now we walk in newness of life. And we are asked, take off your grave clothes. Take off those dirty, smelly grave clothes. And put on the clothes that are clean and white. And with that in mind, Colossians 3, 8-14 says this, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Then verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering there. He says, we're new. The old man has died, and now we've been raised to newness of life. To help you understand this passage of Scripture, what I want to do is I want you to take your sermon notes there and flip it over with that blank page, and I want you to draw a bridge. So I have one on the screen here for you. You don't have to draw it just like this. This is a little more elaborate than my bridge. My bridge on my notes is just, one line that goes like this. And so I have one line, and on either end I put a box on either end. So that's my bridge. And so you draw your bridge there on the back. Then on one side of the bridge, on the left side of the bridge, I want you to write the old man with his old life. The old man with his old life. And put verses 8-9 the first part, 9a, verses 8 to 9a. The old man with his old life. And then on the other side of the bridge, in that box, I want you to write the new man and the new life, which is 12 to 14. And then in the middle, I have this. I wrote the bridge. And then I wrote this. Chapter 3, 9, the last part, B to 11. The bridge is described in verse 9b to verse 11. So on the one side, we have the old man with the old life described in the first part of the end of verse 8 and 9. And then on the other side, we have the new man with the new life described in verses 12 to 14. But right in the middle of this, we have this bridge, 9b to 11, those verses. And so let me describe the old man with his old life. The old man with his own life. He is an angry, wrathful, blasphemous, dirty-mouthed liar who has no mercy. He's full of malice. That's the old man with his old life described. I think that's probably just a sample, an illustration of the old man. Then on the other side, you got the new man with his new life described. So let's describe the new man and his new life. He is tender and kind and loving and humble and meek and merciful. He's long-suffering, he's patient, and he's a forgiving man. Now let me ask you this question. Which man do you like? Which one do you like? Gals, which one would you like to be married to? Is that a hard question? Which one would you like to be like? Well, to me the answer is pretty simple. I like the new man guy. I don't like the old man guy. I've been the old man guy. You wouldn't like that guy. You want to know why? Because I don't like that guy. But we're either living the life of the old man, or we're living as Christians the life of the new man. Well, what's the bridge all about? What's the bridge between the two men and their lives? You might say, well, that's easy. I know what that is. It's the cross. We should have made the bridge a cross. And if you answered that question like that, you would be right. That is true. But it's more than just the cross. It's referring to the results or the effect of the cross. The bridge refers to something the cross has accomplished for the believer, for you and me. And that something is described in verse 9b to verse 10, where it says, "Since you have put off the old man with his deeds," or his smelly old grave clothes, "since you've done that, and have put on the new man." See, the bridge is the new man. It's referring to our new identity in Christ. That's who we are. And the new man on the bridge, standing between the two lives, the old life and the new life. It can go either direction. We as the new man can choose to live like the old man, or we can choose to live as we are in our new identity as the new man. See, it's the new man who is asked to put off the old smelly grave clothes worn by the old man. It's a new man that's asked to do that. And it's the new man that's asked to put on the new clothing. And only the new man can do it. Only the new man has the power, because God has changed him and enabled him to do that. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, And no, it is no longer I that live, the old man, but it's Christ who lives in me. That's a reference to the new man. Christ is now my life. He is the lifeblood of the new man. The question, before Jesus showed up at Lazarus' grave, at his gravesite, could there be any way at all that Lazarus could have got up on his own and took the grave clothes off? Not a hard question. Any possibility whatsoever for that to happen? None. He'd been dead for 4 days. There's no way he could get up off that slab and take off his grave clothes. And it would be just as impossible for you, before Christ came into your life and into your heart, to put off the things of the old life. There's no way you could stand up and take the old grave clothes off. Why is that so? Why is it that as the old man who's living the life of the old man, that I can't do that? It's because the Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sins. What we need is life. And that's what the new man is. He's given life, resurrection life. And just like Lazarus, we need that life. And it's something only God can give us. Church can't give it to you. You can't give it to yourself. Only He can give it to you. And He gives it to you as a gift as you reach out to Him in faith. As those who have trusted Christ as Savior and received life and have become new men and women in Christ, we're asked to take off our old stinky grave clothes, which refers to the deeds of the old man. We're to take those off and walk in newness of life. And like Lazarus, sometimes we need help to do that. Because when he walked out, and they didn't do mummies like we see mummies. They didn't wrap their feet together like that. They wrapped them individually. So he didn't, pop out. That's what I always thought until I realized that they wrapped each individual leg. And he walked out. And then he needed some help. Because he could not unwrap himself. And so he said to those that are around him, loose him. And sometimes in our lives, that's what we need. For us that are new in Christ, sometimes to live that life, sometimes to put away the old and put on the new, we need help to do that, just like Lazarus did. And that's where we come in, seeking to help one another take off those old, smelly grave clothes. Not only that, I could imagine that when they did it, they unwrapped him slowly, little by little, right? Don't you think that they started unwrapping him slowly, but little by little? And that's the same thing true of you and me. Sometimes, and there are times in our lives when we need help to do it because we can't. And then most often in our lives, it's done little by little by little. Slowly, the grave clothes come off in our lives. Romans 6, 6 and 7 says this, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died, has been freed from sin. The old man is a slave to his lifestyle. He's a slave to sin. But once we come to Christ and become that new man, we are set free from being slaves. We're no longer slaves of sin any longer. We are free. Free why? Free to do what's right. Because we're no longer slaves of sin. See, this says that the result of the old man being crucified with Christ is that we are no longer slaves to that old lifestyle, the sin that held on to us. We're free. We no longer live in bondage. We are now free to put on the new man. That's why he freed us. Not to go back and live the life of the old man. And we can, and sometimes we stumble and fall off the bridge that direction. But as new men and women who have had their hearts changed by God, we now can live the new life. We now can put off and put on the new life. Romans chapter 6, 6 through 7 has been called the Christian's Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery in the United States was abolished by the 13th Amendment on December 18, 1865. How many slaves were there on December 19th? The answer, in reality, there were no more slaves. There were none. But many still lived like slaves. Many did because they never learned the truth. Others knew and even believed that they were set free, but they chose to live as if they were not set free. Several plantation owners were devastated by the Emancipation Proclamation. They said, "We're ruined. Slavery has been abolished. We've lost the battle to keep our slaves." And that's what the cross did for each one of us, because we were slaves to sin. That's all we could do. We might be able to white knuckle it for a while, but we'll always end up back there. Their chief spokesman at the time slyly responded, "Not necessarily so. As long as these people think they're still slaves, the Emancipation Proclamation will have no practical effect on them. So, don't tell them. They don't know. They're out in the fields working as your slaves. Don't let them know." And many of them never knew. They didn't know that they had a legal right, that legal right over them. It was no more. But many of them continued to live and act like they were slaves of sin, slaves of their master. "Keep your slaves from learning the truth," he said, "and your control over them will not even be challenged." See, many Christians, I believe, they come to faith in Christ, and then they are not in the Word like they should be or whatever, and they don't know the truth. They really think that they're still slaves and living in bondage and addiction or whatever. See, to live in freedom that the gospel has provided for you and me means you have to know and believe that Christ, who is in you, has created a new man, has given you a brand new heart. You're a new person who's been given freedom and has been given power to put off the old way of living and put on a brand new way of living. He's done that for us. Zig Ziglar gives a great illustration of why it's important to know, believe, and act upon this truth, that we're a new man, that we have a new heart, and we can, in God's strength, live a new life. He said this, Harry Houdini, the famed escape artist of years gone by, issued a challenge wherever he went. He said this, that he could be locked in any jail cell in the country, and he claimed that he could set himself free in short order. So he did that everywhere he went. Always he kept his promise, but one time something went wrong. Houdini entered the jail in his street clothes. The heavy metal doors clanged shut behind him. He took from his belt a concealed piece of metal, strong and flexible, and then he set to work immediately, but something seemed to be unusual about this lock. For 30 minutes he worked, and he got nowhere trying to pick this lock. An hour passed, and he still hadn't opened the door. By now he was bathed in sweat, and panting in exasperation, probably embarrassed too, but he still could not pick the lock. Finally, after laboring for 2 whole hours to pick the lock of this jail, Harry Houdini collapsed in frustration and failure against the door. And when he did that, the door that he couldn't unlock, he fell against the door and it swung wide open. It had never been locked at all. But he had it in his mind that it was locked. So he kept trying to open it. Because of what he didn't know, that it wasn't locked, he couldn't get out in freedom. Like Harry Houdini, most of us are working our heads off trying to get free, trying to break loose, using everything we can think of, everything man can think of, when Christ, as Christians, has already set us free. For Christians, the door to freedom isn't locked. When Christ died on the cross, the door was opened wide. See, we died with him. Not only have we been crucified and died and buried with Christ, we have also been raised up with him and now are seated with him in the heavenly places. How can we walk through that wide open door to freedom? We need to understand and believe the truth that we've been set free and we've become a new person in Christ through faith. We need to just believe that truth, accept it, and then act upon it. So how can we put off the grave clothes of the old man, the old life, and put on the clothing of the new man? How do we do that, actually? How do you do it? You might say, I know Christ is my Savior. I've trusted in him. And I understand that I'm free. And I understand that I'm a new person in Christ. And I believe all of that is true. Then how do I put off and put on? How do I do that? The first thing you need to do is to put off. And you put off through confession and repentance. You put off the deeds of the old man through confession and repentance. That's how we do it. Haven't we all done that? We found ourselves on the wrong side of the bridge and living like we used to live, and God brought us under great conviction of that, and we confessed our sin and repented of our sin, and we did it before God, and maybe we even included some other people. That's how you put off the garment, the smelly garment of the old life, through confession and repentance. Okay, I'm on the bridge, I'm this new man, and I've put off. But you need to put on the new man. Put off the old to put on the new. Take the old clothes off to put the new clothes on. Well, how do you do that? How do you put on the new clothes? The answer to that question is given in verse 10. It says this, having put on the new man, how do you do that? I want to know. I want to put him on. I want to be that kind of husband, that kind of Christian, that kind of person. He says, having put on the new man, here's the answer to the question. Who is renewed in knowledge? Who is renewed in knowledge? God works on our attitudes and our behavior and our thought life and our words by renewing us in knowledge, it says there. We're renewed in knowledge. The word knowledge is referring not to just head knowledge. So you got the person, he understands he's new in Christ, he understands he's this new person. He's also, it doesn't bother him to confess his sin. He's used to doing that, confessing his sin and repenting of his sin. He'll do it at home with his wife. He'll do it at church. He'll do that. And he's here. Now he wants to live this life. He wants to be this new person. And so then he goes to Bible study. And he very seldom misses misses church and Sunday school and Sunday night, and because he's wanting to be renewed. He's wanting to be renewed in knowledge. But at the same time, he finds himself always on the wrong side of the bridge, stumbling and falling, acting in ways that he hates. Why is that? Why is it just receiving the knowledge is not enough? Because the word knowledge there is not just talking about learned knowledge, mental understanding of truth or doctrine. It is experiential knowledge. That's the word that he uses. And so as you receive the knowledge of the principles of God's Word, then you go out and live what it says, apply what it says. That's how you put it on. And so, yes, you have to confess, and then you have to walk away from that lifestyle and sin, you know, there. And then to understand that you're a new person in Christ. And so he's given you the capacity to do it, the strength to do it. And then you take the time that you need to do to be in God's Word and to have your mind renewed in knowledge as you apply it to your life. Because it's an experiential knowledge that he's talking about here. That particular Greek word, the word knowledge there, is what's called the present tense. And what that tells us is that we are to be renewed in knowledge, or through knowledge, by knowledge, day by day by day by day. Present tense, continual action. And so I'm to be doing that day by day, day by day, if I want to put on the new man, and if I want God to change my behavior and my thought life and my attitudes and my words. He says, I will do that. And the only way that can happen is you've got to be a new man. Because the old man lives as a slave to sin. He's in bondage to sin. So only when you come to faith in Christ are you set free and delivered. The old man is crucified and replaced with the new man. And it's the new man that can walk away from the old life through confession and repentance. And that's an ongoing deal. Has anybody got to the place where they don't have to do that no more? If you are, raise your hand, because I want to follow you around. Because I want to see how you do it. Or prove you wrong. Because none of us has gotten to that place. Never will get to that place. But how many of us want to be the new man that's described, who wants to live a life of love and kindness and have a willingness to forgive and all those things that we see there? I don't think I've ever met a Christian that says, I don't want that. But sometimes we come across like that, don't we? 2 Corinthians 4:16 puts it this way, therefore, we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't quit. Even though our outward man is perishing. This is probably a great life verse for the 50 and above. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, it's something that's done day by day. It's interesting. It doesn't say Sunday by Sunday. It says day by day, including Sunday by Sunday. We must confess and repent and renew our minds. And we need to do that every day. Finally, last statement, the goal and purpose of all of it. What is the goal and purpose of all of it? Our text says it is to seek to conform to the image of Christ. That's the goal and purpose of all of it, is so that we one day will be like Him. What kind of man or woman do you want to be? I want you to think of the bridge when you wake up in the morning and what that means, what it represents. And throughout the day, from time to time, think of the bridge. And then when you go to bed, think of the bridge. because we got to walk the bridge. We've got to see ourselves as new. And then we got to turn away from the old and turn towards the new. Think of the bridge. I woke up this morning thinking of the bridge. Well, I got to... Easy, I got to preach it, right? And what we're saying is we're remembering that we're forgiven and cleansed and we're new. And because of that, we're able, for the first time, to put off and put on. Father, oh, this is just a powerful, amazing chapter as we have gotten into it and we think about it. That we're supposed to have we're supposed to commit spiritual suicide. We're supposed to be willing to die daily to the old life. And Father, we know the only way we can do that and the only way that we can put on and put off is to die. And the only way we can do that is to know you as our Savior, to have trusted you as our Lord and Savior so that the old man could be crucified, so we could be set free of sin, and we can walk in newness of life as you ask us to. Father, we pray that you would help us to put off what we need to put off when we need to put it off, and then, Father, we would put on the things that we need to, the things that are listed, which basically is putting on Christ, because that's his life. And we pray these things in your Son's name, amen. We're going to close by singing 378. 378, only one life. 378. Take your hymnal. I invite you to stand as we close our service with this song, 378. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior. All of this was, you know, you got to trust Christ as Savior first. Then you become the new man. And then you have hope.